Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk Nike Pro's outreach to Muslim women, Chrissy Teigen's postpartum depression, and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, welcome to Fit Club. I am your host, Fallon Mercedes. You can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon across all social media. Shaka, where can they find you?
Hey, Shaka Smith. You can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
And today is
International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, Shaka. Happy International Women's Day to you, too.
Well, you know, a lot of people were doing that, no woman for a day thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad you showed up because I couldn't have done show by myself.
Exactly. You know, some people were tweeting online how women, we are known for being responsible. We have a lot of responsibility. So, you know, for a lot of us, we will still show up. So I'm a little confused by the not showing up part. But hey, I will celebrate anyway.
Yes.
And I'm glad to be here tonight. In the background, we had Selena Gomez, who you said this is one of your new favorite songs.
Yeah, it ain't me. I guess it's sort of like a woman's anthem. You know, she doesn't need to be there. She can be on her own and independent.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Shout out to all my independent women, all my independent international women. We have great stories for you today, some including some prestige international women and some international women topics. First, we want to start with talking about our favorite voice singer, who's also a woman, Courtney Harrell, who had a great event, I think 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it last week, but I got some photos. I got some photos. Both Shaka and I showed up, and it was such a good time. She had an event at Dragonfly Cycling Studio, and it was called It's the Psych Ward.
Yeah. And it was crazy.
It was crazy. And what she did was she invited all her musician friends, and that's us on the screen, having a good time. She invited her musician friends, some people from The Voice, and she had a workout for Music Cares, which is an organization that helps musicians who need help. You know, sometimes when you come to LA, especially, you're a struggling artist, you don't get put on certain gigs, or you're not getting paid right away.
Yeah.
So even Courtney spoke out and said that Music Cares actually helped her when she first started out here, moving from Boston, and, you know, she needed help paying her rent and stuff like that.
Yeah, because she knows the ups and downs of the industry, you know. So anything in the arts, you know, there can be a lot of ups and downs. So what they're doing is really great for a lot of artists.
Yeah, so it was so much fun to catch up with her. As you saw the picture of me, Shaka, and I think I did send a picture of me and Courtney as well, but you can see us hanging out and having fun. But it was such a good time. If you guys go to our social media, we have other photos and videos posted as well.
there we go.
Yeah, she was so cute. She's like, I don't want to take the picture, I'm all sweaty. And I'm like, no, it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah,
we just had a good class,
a good workout.
Shout out to Courtney and the Psych Ward.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about another favorite female of ours, and that is Miss Chrissy Teigen. She recently spoke out about postpartum depression. Now, we know she is married to musician John Legend, and they just had a baby a couple months ago.
Luna.
Who's gorgeous. And, you know, it's interesting watching the social media of celebrities. You will see so many photos and videos of them looking happy. And, you know, she seems like she's loving motherhood. But recently she penned in Glamour magazine that, you know, she was experiencing some postpartum depression.
She was diagnosed in December.
Yeah, and that was just a couple months after having baby Luna. And she was actually afraid to speak out about it because, you know, you can look at her and see that she lives this glamorous life. She's married to a great guy. She has a great modeling career. She has a nanny.
Yeah.
She has in-laws. She has all the help she can get.
Yeah.
Financially, they are good. You know, you might think, why would she, out of all people, have postpartum depression? She has a new, brand new baby.
And
it's her first child.
And what's interesting was she didn't identify it because she said she thought, and as I thought, her essay kind of opened me up. she said, it wasn't like I didn't like my child. I was so happy when I saw my child. I was depressed in other areas of my life. And so I didn't equate it to postpartum depression, but that was part of it.
Yeah. And some of her, I guess, symptoms were not being able to get out of bed or off the couch, loss of appetite. And if you follow her, you know she loves to eat. I mean, she has a cookbook. She would randomly burst into tears working. Yeah. You know, she has a show that she's on, was getting harder and harder to do, so she couldn't really understand. But let me tell you this, and I'm going to relate it to weight gain, weight loss. I feel that postpartum depression is very similar to rapid weight gain or weight loss. And I experienced some depression when I gained a bunch of weight on the show that I did. Yeah. And at the time when I was in it, I did not call it depression. Yeah. But when I was out of it, I realized it was depression. Yeah. I think whenever you are affected drastically, your sleep is affected, your hormones are affected, your lifestyle is affected, you know, I think it is going to affect your mind mentally. Yeah. And I can't imagine having a newborn. You're not sleeping at night. Your life is very different. It's no longer about you. It's okay, I need to provide for this child.
And if you're generally depressed and you don't feel that way about the child, then it's hard to attribute where that feeling is coming from. Mm-hmm. And I thought what was interesting was it's really underdiagnosed, especially in minority communities, especially in communities with low incomes. And so women are going through this and
not even knowing.
It's underdiagnosed. They are afraid to go out and seek help because they're afraid in a lot of these lower income communities that their kids will get taken away if you admit to something like depression or, you know. Yep. And so I think that was, I thought the greatest lesson was, you know, as a woman, if you're feeling depressed in any way, especially after having that child, go ahead and seek that help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister-in-law, she had came out to me last year and told me her and my brother just had a baby 2 years ago, that she went through a depression and didn't tell anybody because she didn't want it to seem like she was resentful for having her baby. Yeah. And, you know, he had a lactose intolerance. Yeah. So he was crying all the time. My nephew not sleeping at night because he was allergic to her milk. So she had to get put on a dairy-free diet. That way, when she was breastfeeding him, he wouldn't get allergic to the milk. So she literally went 7 months with no sleep, maybe 1 to 2 hours. So that insomnia, you know, plays on everything. Sleep is so important, even with weight loss. You have to get enough sleep. I think just any area of your life, you really do need sleep. And when you have a newborn,
and you got to take care of your mental health. You know? So, you know, we're so quick to neglect it because it doesn't seem like it's urgent.
Yeah.
But when your mental health is not taken care of, everything else in your life is going to start to fall apart. So.
And Chrissy, she was speaking that she sees a therapist. Yeah. And once she started her antidepressants, it really helped her. And she felt like her old self. And as you know, she's goofy. She's joking all the time. She felt like she was who she was before she had the baby. So shout out to Chrissy for being open and vulnerable and penning this because, you know, her and just a few other celebs like Adele, like actress, what was her name? Actress, I wrote it down.
Hayden Panettiere. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who she is, but
she was on the cheerleader from Heroes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she opened up about it too. So it's nice that celebs are stepping forward and hopefully that will make us more aware to run out and get help.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about Trump slashing restraints on FDA for prescriptions such as antidepressants and other things. Now, I usually don't agree a lot with some of the things that our president does, but this I am, you know, in favor for. We'll talk about the pros and cons, but what he's doing is just a background. On average, it takes 12 years for a prescription drug to be tested, researched, to get to human testing, and then finally out
into your hands.
Yeah. So 12 years is a long time when people are facing different illnesses, you know, especially chronic illnesses that are causing deaths.
Yeah.
So Shaka, can you tell us more about this?
Well, so, you know, Trump essentially wants to streamline the process by which, you know, these drugs can get approval. He hasn't really outlined exactly how or which way. But what we already have very streamlined ways for certain drugs to get approval. Mm-hmm. You know, for certain drugs, if it's a drug that is to combat a life-threatening disease and it's a new drug that advances the treatment of that disease, they get fast-tracked. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these drugs that are really kind of more cutting-edge and are new in a particular field, especially when the disease is more harmful to the patient, mm-hmm. They do get fast-tracked, and a lot of them can be anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, you know, mm-hmm. within a year's time frame.
Yeah.
So there is already a pathway for that, and what I'm nervous about with Trump, at least in this particular context, is we don't want pharmaceutical companies to really be testing, using us as lab rats.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I'm a little worried about. I know pharmaceutical companies, they have the dollar bills, and I could see them running to the White House saying, hey, we will give you so much more money to get all these drugs going. And it really scares me for those people who, you know,
For us, we're the unsophisticated consumer, because if I have some sort of ailment and the pharmaceutical company tells me this will probably fix you, I'm going to want to take it. And there's no safeguards.
My mom, she has a lot of different health issues. And, you know, we just spoke last week. She was taking something for, was it restless leg syndrome? No, it was something for her allergies, and it was causing restless leg syndrome. Wow. And she's been suffering from this for years, and then she just took herself off the medication. She was like, I'd rather deal with allergies than not being able to sleep at night. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, when you fast track these drugs, you know, one thing can happen and then something else. So, and that's why when you watch those commercials, you'll see a drug and they have all these warning labels. Oh, but Provetal will cause, heartburn and this. And then you're thinking like, well, I don't even want to take that drug then. So that's the thing that's a little bit scary about pushing all these drugs. But I do like the fact that there might be help for those chronic diseases, illnesses, that there's nothing for them on the market.
Well, because we do have a fast track process for those. Mm-hmm. It might just take a few months.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, when it comes to life, you want it to be immediate. But we do have a fast track process for it. So my concern is to see how, in what ways will he try to roll this out, or, you know, what will be the instruction by the FDA to roll it out? You just want to make sure that people are safe. You want to make sure that the unsophisticated consumer is not taken advantage of.
Yeah, exactly. And just a little more info, only 5,000 prescription drugs actually make it to human trials where they are tested. From those 5, only 1 will be approved for humans. So that just shows you there's so many drugs on the market that we will never, ever, ever see. So it's like when I think of cancer, I often think, with our technology now, why is there not a for sure cure? But, you know, perhaps there is one or many, but they're not getting through the testing process quick enough, or
I think it's good the way it's gone down, because, you know, I think they had one drug for leukemia that ended up killing people earlier. And so
scary.
And so you don't want to find out after you've released a drug. Already in our lifetimes, I've heard of, you know, just throughout growing up, I've heard this drug recalled and that drug recalled and that drug recalled. That means it made it through that entire process and no one was able to see the side effects until further down the line. Sometimes it's 5 or 8 years. So I just think we have a pretty good system in place. There might be some places where it could be tweaked. So it'll be interesting to see what areas he tweaks, and hopefully not at the expense of the consumer and in favor of pharmaceutical companies to just, like, blast out drugs and get patents and then all of a sudden find out 10 years later it's killing you.
Let's talk about things that are killing us. We know food can be medicine. But we also know that it could be detrimental to our health, either to help us or hurt us.
It's going to make some people out there really sad to hear, hear about this one.
So this next story, bacon, soda, and too few nuts are actually tied to big portions of deaths in the U.S.
And everyone loves bacon, right? Everyone loves bacon.
But what about you? They can go to your vegan bacon,
they can go get veggie bacon. It does exist. It's pretty good.
I haven't ate it. Yeah. I do my turkey bacon, but maybe I should try it.
Try the veggie bacon. Well, now, right?
Overeating or not eating enough of the 10 foods, which I will explain, can contribute to early deaths of half of U.S. Deaths that are causing, you know, different illnesses.
Strokes,
from
heart disease, yeah.
Diabetes, yeah. All those things. There are research that shows that about 700,000 deaths in 2012 are stemmed from heart disease, strokes, diabetes, like we just said, and other... Analysis of National Health Survey showed that participants, their deaths were correlated to their eating habits. So most of them didn't eat the recommended amounts of foods which they studied. The 10 ingredients combined contributed to about 45% of those deaths, according to the study. Let me just jump into the foods they are. Do you remember any of the foods?
Well, yeah, well obviously the bacon, the diet soda.
Yes, so the bacon, diet soda, red meat.
Yeah.
One serving weekly, one medium steak, or the equivalent of that of. So that is bad for you.
Yeah.
Even having just one serving. Mm-hmm. Processed meat.
That's going to be your turkey bacon.
Yeah, and the salt. And this is my downfall. Because I can go without... I've been doing veggie burgers, so I've been doing good. Salt, 2,000 milligrams daily. That's just under a teaspoon of salt. Which is too much.
And you got to be careful because it's in a lot of stuff.
Like, I mean,
that's my downfall, too.
It's in everything.
Yeah.
Like, I can give up sugary... But salty, that is very difficult for me.
I was even having some bags of popcorn. I probably got my fill.
And you complained it's too salty. And I'm like, I love salty popcorn.
Yeah, I probably got my full fill. Yeah.
I'll give up the fat. I'll give up the sugar. But that salt, that is definitely hard. Some things that we definitely do need that are actually good for us. Fruits, 3 average size servings of daily fruit a day. Vegetables, nut seeds, you want about 5 1-ounce servings per week. Whole grains, 2.5 daily servings. You want your polyunsaturated fats like, you know, olive oil, good oils, seafood, 8 ounces weekly, which I was surprised they put in there.
So go pescatarian.
Yeah.
Maybe start off with that.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. But I'm surprised they put seafood in there.
You're going to get those good omegas, you know, from the seafood.
But the problem is, even when I buy fish now, you have to really look for fish that hasn't been... altered, manipulated.
Well, you don't want, you want to stay away from the farmed fish. You know, you want the wild caught, that kind
of
deal.
I'm starting not to trust even the wild caught. It's looking bigger and bigger and not normal. You know, like when you get your vegetables and the apple is like the size of your head.
And you're like, this is not right.
I've never seen an apple this big. Or you see an orange that looks like a grapefruit and you're like, something isn't right. Yeah, so I would even be careful with those good foods. Let's talk about the worst diet tips that top nutrition experts have ever heard. And I thought this was an interesting story to talk about because I'm not going to lie, even I thought some of these tips were good. So the first one, do not eat after 8 p.m.
I've always hated this tip because I knew it was like sort of one of those BS tips. You know what I mean?
Tell us why it's BS.
Well, essentially, if you're talking about losing weight, you're talking about calories burned versus calories taken in. So if you burn 1,000 calories in a day and you took in 500, if you took the 500 in at 8 a.m. or 10 p.m., you're still going to lose weight the next day.
Yeah.
Now, the argument would be, you know, obviously if you're putting all your calories in earlier in the day, there's a greater chance you'll work them off throughout the day because you already know. But if you're just looking at how much you burn and what you take in, timing really doesn't matter.
Well, for me and my body and what I've noticed, if I eat the bulk of my calories at night, I personally feel like it stays in my stomach and isn't burned off. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we eat for energy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like what use is that food, you know, and I'm not saying like I think it's okay to eat 3 hours, 2 hours. But like if I eat 30 minutes before bedtime, I feel like my body will turn that food into fat and it will go straight to my thighs and my hips.
Not if you worked out before earlier in the day, though, and your muscles need those carbohydrates and the protein, you know. So it just depends on what your level of activity is throughout the day.
And I think most important, I think it's the type of food that you're eating. If you're eating nachos
And I think
at 10 o'clock at night,
People tend to reach for the worst stuff in the evening. Yeah. If you're having broccoli and rice and
that's gonna
some
do
lean
you
fish,
good.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. So if you're going to eat your bad food, eat it early in the day. No, I'm just kidding. The next, I guess, myth, a diet myth, is when you're hungry, chew on gum or eat celery.
I really hadn't heard. Well, I've heard about the celery, actually, because they said, you know, you burn more calories to process the celery than the celery actually has. So that was a good way to stay thin but feel full because you'd be eating just tons of celery.
Yeah. Well, the reason why this isn't good because, well, I should say it could backfire is those who eat, you know, the celery or gum, they're ignoring those hunger cues.
Yeah.
So what happens to your body, your metabolism actually slows down when you do eat because you're not eating, I guess...
Well, your body thinks you're starving.
Exactly. So it's going to take that food and store it as fat because it doesn't know when you're going to feed yourself again. So that's definitely.
And then they did a couple of studies that people that tend not to eat when they're hungry tend to overeat later.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true too. And I've done this too. I've done this myself. I'm like, had I had a sufficient meal when I was actually hungry, I wouldn't have binged on later.
Yeah, like all the chips.
Exactly. You end up eating everything in sight instead of making healthy choices. Yeah. So I would definitely maybe if you're trying to curb your hunger to some degree, drink water. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this last week.
Which
30
really
minutes before 30 minutes prior to your meal, before your meal, and then consume your
meal. And that alone will still help you burn calories, even without the, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like 500 calories a week. We learned something, Jaka.
We did.
All right, number three. To lose weight, just eat less and exercise more. I, for a long time, as a trainer, did go by this method.
What?
And I realized later on it's not actually all true.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works to a degree. It's like, what are you talking about when you say eat less and exercise more? So, I mean, if you're doing it in a smart way, if you were someone that overate, then eat less and exercise more.
Yeah.
You didn't exercise. But it's not that simple of a formula. You need to make sure you're making full changes throughout your life, and it's not just an idea of, you know, starve myself and go crazy in the gym.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's not, you know, I know sometimes I give clients it's not good to, but sometimes I do give a restriction for calories. So people can start being aware and start reading the nutrient labels. And then later on, I teach them how to read the fats, read the different things.
And if they were overeating before, they do need a restriction in calories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what I realize is that some people, I'll give them 1,400, 1,200. And most of it, 1,000 of it, is all bad. And they're like, but I stayed under the calorie limit.
Yeah.
So that's the tricky part. You want to make sure if you are reducing your calories, it's actually healthy food that you're consuming. It's not just reducing the good
you're
stuff.
Yeah, having
and
20
you're,
Oreos versus like all the good food you could be having. Yeah.
I did do that before. That's not good.
I've been there.
First,
We've all been there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but it's only 200 calories. All right, drinking diet soda instead of regular soda.
Yeah. I mean, it's that common thing that we all think it's good to do, but, you know, they're putting these things in diet soda that may not be healthy.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff makes you crave more sugar.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that aspartame, the fake sugars, you know, those man-made sugars, I feel and I've researched that your body doesn't process it and break it down the same way. You know, it's not going to use it as energy. It's mostly going to store it as fat, and it's going to mess up your metabolism.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would rather say go for real sugar. If you're going to go,
but you
go
really
for the real thing.
But you really should just be in water.
Exactly.
Yeah, you should really just be water. You know, someone said years ago, and it just for some reason clicked for me, was like, don't drink your calories.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I'd rather just eat like really good food and not get it from like drinks and sugary stuff. And I stopped, you know, coffee. I just did black coffee from
That's
then on. I just did water, green tea, no sugar. And I used to be a big, like, throw a bunch of sugar in my coffee. But I was like, you know what? I'd rather that sugar come in the form of a cake later on.
That's what I do. Yep. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have my black coffee. And maybe if I want a little biscuit, I'm going to have my biscuit. The next one, cutting out carbs. Now, you do want to make yourself aware of the carbs you're eating because carbs turn into sugar in the body. However, you do need carbs to a certain degree for energy.
Yeah, I think some of the people, the nutritionists, were maybe sensitive to certain things they hear because the layperson who's not really in fitness will say, cutting out carbs, oh, I got to make sure I have zero carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want. You want to be making sure you have maybe low carbohydrates if you're trying to really lean down.
Yeah.
But they're coming from good sources, an abundance of vegetables, an abundance mm-hmm. of fruit.
And those things have carbs in it. Yeah. They're good carbs.
And those are the kind of carbohydrates, if you stick to those, you will find yourself losing weight and feeling better and a little bit healthier.
Yeah. Do a cleanse to lose weight. Are you a fan of cleanses?
Yeah, but not necessarily to lose weight, but okay. I think sometimes the body needs to heal and to repair. Yeah. And there's been a lot of evidence to show that when you fast, your cells repair.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of fasting, just even from a spiritual standpoint. Yeah. I feel like I've done fasting, and I see the remarkable things that it can do for your mind, you know, for your body. And, you know, I think it's one organism. It's one big. So I feel like, why wouldn't it help you, you know? And I feel like it rejuvenates your taste buds. When you come off a cleanse, when you eat something healthy, it's like, wow, this apple just came alive in my mouth. It's because you haven't been dosing yourself with diet soda and aspartame, and it's not drowning out your taste buds. I feel like when you drink water, it's like, this is actually quenching my thirst now.
You got that cleanse that sort of kind of gives you a little bit of a reset. I think, you know, I think in the context of I'm going to overeat for Thanksgiving, and so I'm going to go crazy, and then because I'm doing the cleanse, that gives me an excuse to really eat poorly. Then in that context, I get why that's like a pet peeve.
Yeah.
Like, do a cleanse because it's going to be part of a healthy regimen for you, not because it's like, I got to drop all this weight
before. And that's exactly. I don't think, because really, that weight is going to come back.
Yeah,
majority of it is water weight.
Yeah, 100%.
So you're going to do all that for, you know, 2 pounds of water, and the next week you're going to get it right back.
And then you might be throwing, and depending on how often you're utilizing this, you might be throwing your body off balance.
Yeah. Skip the sugar. Many people think of sugar as the enemy. It is true that excess calories from added sugars, the table sugar, the syrup, the candy, all that other stuff.
That you should skip.
Because it's not doing anything. There's no real nutrients in it. However, you know, the sugar in the bananas.
Any type of fruit, really,
that's actually good for you.
Yeah.
And I feel like your body, again, because it's natural, your body knows how to break it down.
Yeah, and then if you ever have a craving for some sort of processed sugar, have fruit first.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, it'll knock out that craving because your body gets satisfied.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I always have gone by. You know, if I want to cheat and have something bad, I try to have like a healthy thing first. And if I still want it, then I'll go to it.
Yeah. If you have your bowl of oatmeal, I love sugar on my oatmeal. However, I cut up some bananas, throw it in there, and it kicks that sweet craving that I'm looking for, and it's healthy for me. The last one, do not worry about saturated fat. Despite the headline, saturated fats are not back. They still raise your cholesterol and increase the risk of heart disease, cancer. The only foods that contain saturated fats that have shown to prevent heart disease and prolong life are nuts and seeds and all those good things.
Yeah, just go vegan. That's
I know, right?
That's the answer.
Vegan. Every problem, just go vegan. Go vegan. All right, do we skip any stories? Was that it? Oh, did I give you this one, the treat cramps?
Oh,
had
yeah.
Had treat cramps? Yeah. A lot of... Oh, wait. There's another one for... okay, well, treat cramps, and then we're going to talk about Nike and...
Oh, yeah, I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, so first with cramping. Do you actually get cramps?
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially when I swam, you'd get cramps all the time.
Oh, yeah, you were... you
swimmer.
Did polo.
In water polo, yeah. And so, yeah, you get a little Charlie horse. You cramp up somewhere and...
Mm-hmm.
And this article is all about how to treat them. And a lot of times it can be attributed to so many different things.
Yeah.
For me, chief amongst it, I found it was usually when I was dehydrated.
Yeah. Or you're not getting enough potassium, is it?
Yeah, potassium and sodium. And so that's why electrolytes, and that's why Gatorade.
That's a big thing. I remember cheerleading in high school, and we had our running back star player, Bismarck, South High. We, all of us cheerleaders, would bring bananas.
Yeah.
To the game because he would always get cramps, and we would just throw bananas at him. Like, make sure you don't cramp up. Eat a banana. And I think stretching is very, very important, too. I feel like so many athletes or people going to the gym, you know, they're going so hard working out or, you know, performing in their sport that they don't take the time enough to properly stretch. And I feel like it's just as important. If you do not, you know, want to take the time to really stretch, there's dynamic stretches that you could do, warming up your body properly and stretching at the same time.
And I always say be careful with how you're stretching if it's going to be close to a workout that involves weightlifting, because you don't want to stretch too close to that workout, because a lot of times you stretch and could be preparing your body for a movement
that you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that might make you actually more prone to injury. So give it at least maybe an hour, maybe longer, between a stretching regimen and then like a strength training workout.
Okay, let's talk about those hijabs that Nike is just launched. It's called Pro Hijab, and it's for Muslim women athletes, just launched by Nike. I love this.
They look kind of cool, right?
They really look really cool. Like, talk about International Women's Day. This is like the best story for today. I love this. It actually gives me goosebumps just looking at the female athlete. This just shows and screams woman power. I actually lived in Dubai for a couple of months after I graduated college. And, you know, Dubai, it is, you know, primarily a Muslim or Islamic country. And although it is very fast forward compared to other Muslim countries, you know, I think there was one college there that was for women. But, you know, women's rights there, I think, are a little bit slower than here in the U.S. We've been liberated for a long time. I mean, we just had Hillary Clinton run for president. So I love this because you're seeing these female athletes who are making grounds. And now they're providing the gear for them to do it. So to me, it's showing so much respect for their religion, their culture. Yeah. And at the same time, it's allowing them to be great and do things, make grounds in a male dominant, you know.
Yeah, and they had really top Muslim female athletes come in and test this and give them feedback so that it comported to their religious sort of like requirements, but also was breathable and they could perform and like not think about the hijab as they're, you know, doing whatever competitions they're involved in.
And one of the athletes, she was saying before competitions, she literally had one hijab that was, I guess, good enough to allow her to perform at her max every night, because she only had one. She was constantly washing it it. So now, you know, they have this amazing line that, you know, it will provide them, you know, more and, well, not endurance, but it will allow them
maybe more endurance because a lot of the problem was breathability. So they were sweating in the hijabs and there weren't that many options.
Yeah.
And so I think this also kind of maybe puts a new face on the Muslim woman in terms of what she does and, you know,
she can and can't do. Yeah, it's breaking that barrier.
Yeah, and that, you know, because she has these religious values doesn't mean she's not this woman that can also play sports and do other things. You know. And I think they said Muslim buying of like sort of apparel made up 11%.
Crazy. Again, when I lived in Dubai, those women shop. Like, I would see, I forget what you call what they would wear, not just the hijabs, but like, their garments would be embroidered with literally like diamonds and gold
and you're talking about it's accounting for 11% of apparel sales worldwide. So I think you're going to see a lot of companies still start to address this issue, and they already have started.
Oh yeah, Tommy Hilfiger, DKNY did a line a couple years ago. There's other big lines out there that are incorporating this. However, there's some Muslims that feel like they also don't want to companies to kind of
commercialize too much.
Yeah, you know, we need to be respectful.
Because
it's due to their beliefs and their religion.
And I like that a company like Nike went and got these athletes to consult with them, you know. So I think as long as these companies are being very conscious and consulting and listening.
Yeah, and not just throwing the product out there.
That's something, oh, this will sell, let's do this, yeah.
Exactly.
I think that'll be very helpful. But yeah, what a great story. I
loved it. Yeah. You guys sound off in the comments below on YouTube or tweet at us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let us know, I guess, some of the stories that you heard from us today. What do you think about the hijabs that Nike, you know, just put out for Muslim women? What do you think about Chrissy Teigen voicing up about postpartum depression? What do you think about the foods like bacon that you shouldn't be eating that could cause early death? Will you be giving up bacon? We really want to hear from you. We enjoy, you know, doing this every week for you guys. Not only do we learn, we enjoy it, and we hope you guys take something away from it. That's going to wrap up today's show.
Yeah. So you're giving up bacon now, right?
I'm going to try your vegan bacon. Please bring me some. I'm actually not going to be here next week because it will be my birthday, and happy I'm going birthday. On vacation.
Yes.
But I will be pretty good up until then, until they have the
cake. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
Okay, we want pictures. We want, and video. And video,
yes,
yeah.
And I'm going to do some workouts while I'm there. I'll make sure to videotape it and show you guys
some good travel workouts.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
All right, you guys. I will see you, I guess, after next...
2 weeks.
Yeah, next week's Fit Club. But Shaka will be here.
Yeah.
You guys can find us online at... Well, you can find me online at FitWithFallon or FitWithFallon.com. Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.